Well, hello, quantum engineers, and welcome to our Saturday coaching call number 2. You know what I'm going to say, because I always say it. I hope that wherever you are in the world, that you're having a great day, that you enjoyed module 2, that you've enjoyed module 1, that you got a chance to join me on the Metaphysics of Christmas call, and that the work that we've been talking about over the last few weeks has invited you to perceive your relationship with the quantum field and reality in a different way, and is starting to help you put some of the pieces of the metaphysical puzzle together. And that when we start to understand the metaphysics of something, we start to see how some of the teachings of the New Age, the spiritual New Age, the love and light, all is happy vibration and bliss is not a powerful enough tool for us. So I hope all of this stuff is starting to sink in. The being quantum work, again, it serves you no matter where you are on your mystical and metaphysical journey. If you've been at it for a long time, what this understanding and these concepts and these principles help you do is helps you deepen, amplify, and empower your mystical or spiritual understandings. If you're new at it or newish at it, it helps you step onto the path on the right foot. It helps you detour around the fields of fluff and naivete, if you will, that so many people get tangled up in, and they skip around like bunnies in it for years and years and years. So regardless of where you are on the journey, it doesn't matter wherever you've been and whatever you've learned, whatever you practiced, it has served you. You've done nothing wrong. There's been no error in that process, but if we're really, truly wanting to amplify, deepen, empower our mystical and miracle-building skills, this understanding is essential. So I hope it's starting to settle in. And I also hope that it's opening a door of curiosity. I hope it's opening a level of inquiry where you start to look out into the world, or you start to look out into mystical, metaphysical ideas. And you're like, isn't that interesting? Let me be curious. Let me investigate. How does this really function in my world? Let me have an experience of it. And for those of you who have studied with me before, you know that as mature mystics, there are 4 traits to a mature modern mystic. The first one being curiosity. So again, whenever I teach and I give you guys concepts to play with and consider, I never say just take my word at it or my word for it. I say listen, then go out and experiment and be curious about it. And so curiosity is the number one tool of a mature modern mystic. So moving forward, this curiosity is going to be awakened in you, and it's going to start to expand. The second tool of a mature modern mystic is experience. Again, go out and try it. Don't just take my word for it. And this is also really important and crucial, is that a lot of people who want to be spiritually rooted, who want to be authentic metaphysicians, who want to be authentic miracle makers, they'll just sit on their pillow in their meditation room and just think that thinking it is going to make it so. But that's not accurate. The true position where miracles happen is when we're out in the world doing it. So experience is the second tool of a mature modern mystic. It's always so fascinating to me that you'll hear a lot of people out there talking about how powerful they are mystically and metaphysically. And I'll be like, well, what have you created in the 3D world? And they'll say, oh, well, I haven't created anything in the 3D world, but I go on really great, ayahuasca trips, or I take really great mushroom trips. And that's fine. But again, the true test of a metaphysician, of a miracle maker, is what they are able to shape in their life and in the world. So experience is essential. The third tool of the mature modern mystic is power. Being able to call all of our power back. And as you've noticed over the course of these last two teaching modules, is that self, the structure of self that is conditioned, that has and that believes that the 3D world has the power to wound it and influence it and alter its perception and all of that other stuff. The self from that conditioned state has very little power because it's coming from its conditioning. It's coming from the false error of belief that the 3D world is where the power is. And so there's very little power in the self. You can get some stuff done in the self, from the self. Absolutely. There's a lot of people on the planet who are getting a lot of stuff done from the self. But it's not an evolutionary consciousness. It's not creating new realities. Because it's coming from an old level of consciousness, because it's coming from a limited level of consciousness, the self, that is very limited in power, then the self can only create stuff in the 3D world that is equal to its level of power and its level of consciousness. Let me say that again. The self can only create things in the 3D world that are equal to its levels of power and its levels of consciousness. So people get lots of stuff done from self, where they're not playing in the quantum in any real way. But we as metaphysicians, we want to create miracles. We want to create big time kick-ass transformational change in our own life and in the world, right? So the third element of power is essential. And so at this stage, when we're playing with the idea of power, this is where we have to really stop giving power to the outer world. We have to stop giving power to our history. We have to stop giving power to people around us. We have to stop giving power to structures, dynamics in the 3D world, and call all of that power back, right? Because think of it like, where's the analogy? What is the analogy? Think of it like you're a garden hose and source energy, the quantum field, is the source of energy and water that's moving through your garden hose. And that garden hose is popped full of holes. It has holes in the whole length of the garden hose. So if that were the case, then all of that source energy is leaking violently, leaking out of your system. And then by the time the water from the source reaches the end of the hose, it's just a trickle because your hose is popped full of holes. And so as we reclaim our power, as we call all of our power back from the 3D world, we start to plug those holes in our hose so that the true quantum energy, the true value of source energy can blow through us and we can direct it full steam ahead, full throttle into the 3D world. So the third trait of the modern mystic, the mature metaphysician, the true quantum engineer, is power. And I want you to really start to recognize where you leak power, where you give power away, where your perception in the illusory world of the 3D world is costing you. And again, it's not a judgment. We can't serve the world and we can't serve ourselves if we're in judgment of it, or if we're in judgment of ourselves. It just becomes a reality. We go, huh, all right, this as a principle, as a structure of physics, as metaphysics, physics is rooted in principle. Physics is rooted in law. So the law would be, okay, if I'm a garden hose and I'm attached to source and I'm popped full of holes, it's not principle, it's not personal, but it's physics that there's not going to be as much power at the end of my garden hose because my power is leaking all through the system. It's not personal. It's physics. It's principle. So we go, okay, if I want to have more quantum power, if I want to have a deeper, more potent relationship with the quantum field, if I want to truly be able to live the knowing that the Father and I are one, then I have to call all of my power back. I have to plug all of these holes, or it's not going to work. It just becomes pure and simple. And so when it's rooted in principle like that, we can let all of the emotion of it go, right? Because it becomes very simple. 2 + 2 = 4. What am I doing in my energetic structure? And if I'm not doing 2 + 2 = 4, if I want to have my outcome be 4 and I'm adding 6 + 3, well, then it's not going to work. If I want to have my outcome be 4 and I'm adding 72 + 19, it's not going to work. And as long as we understand that this is rooted in principle, metaphysics, deep principle, then that clears up all of the emotion. It clears up all of the, why doesn't the universe want me to have this? Or it clears up, you know, I must be damaged by bloodlines of karma and curses. Nope. It clears all of that up. Clears all of that up. And it says, and it makes it very clean. It makes it very precise. And it makes it very efficient. 2 + 2 = 4. If I'm leaking power, if I'm putting my power into the 3D world, this isn't going to work. And I have to call all of that power back. I call all of that power back around my money. And I say, okay, the economy is not the source of my money. My quantum consciousness is the source of my money. We pull all of that power back regarding our health. And we say the medical industry and drugs, et cetera, are not the source of my health. My quantum consciousness is the source of my health. Entertainment and media is not the source of my creativity. My quantum mind is the source of my creativity. The global economy is not the source of my wealth. My quantum consciousness is the source of my wealth. The global weather, the climate change, and I'm saying that with air quotes, is not the source of my well-being on this planet. In fact, the global climate is a result of my consciousness. 7 billion unconscious people are contributing to climate change. It's not what we've been told. So we pull all of our energy back from that. We pull all of our power back from that 3D world, and we put it back where it belongs, in our quantum mind. And then the fourth trait of the mature modern mystic is sovereignty, self-governance, self-rule. And that sovereign self-rule is I and me and my consciousness, the Father and I rule my reality. I shape my reality. My consciousness is the law, right? My thought governs my life. My power governs my life. I decide. I choose, I engage with the field, and I shape my reality. My reality is not dependent on anyone or anything. I rule, this is why it's called sovereign. I rule, I am the king or queen of my domain. So these elements of curiosity, experience, power, and sovereign self-rule are essential to you being able to master this quantum process. You have to practice it. You're going to have days where it's like, boom, boom, wow, this is really interesting. I've noticed how things are feeling different. I'm seeing things differently. I'm sensing things differently. I'm feeling better. I have more power. And then you'll lose it. It'll get away from you. And then you remind yourself, you pull yourself back, you do your practice, you remember what you're doing, you remember your position in the equation, you remember that it's rooted in principle. And listen, it's not going to work if you don't practice it. It's not going to work if you just do it through the course of these 2 weeks and then go, well, I did that. This is something we do and practice and develop daily. That's why this is an advanced practice, right? We don't just do it once, because consciousness is constantly moving. And what consciousness within ourselves will also do is, if we're not practicing it, if we're not developing it, if we're not shaping that muscle, it will go back to the old way of being because, and we talked about this last week, that it takes a while for the 3D reality to catch up unless you're backing your quantum practice with a lot of power. So this becomes something we're constantly considering while we're doing our meditations, while we're out in the 3D world, while we're awake and participating in the 3D world, we are constantly aware, constantly investigating, constantly aware of the energetic, invisible energetic field that's around us, that is the quantum, the unseen, unknown, that we are swimming in. That diagram that I gave you in the module this week of source energy, the big circle of source energy with a smaller circle of soul energy containing the smaller circle of self energy. Those circles of soul and source are enveloping us. And so part of where the power comes from is in us being curious about those things. And whether we're sitting in our car or we're sitting in line at the grocery store or we're caring for a sick elder or we're signing a bank loan, that we're aware of it. And we're taking action in those places with that awareness, vibrantly awake. Okay. So those traits, again, for those of you who've studied with me before, you're aware of those traits. For those of you who are new, those traits are really, really important for you to remember and to practice and to write them down on a piece of paper and stick them on your fridge or stick them on the mirror of your while you're brushing your teeth. Or have them, you know, come up on a calendar on your phone to remind you of them, because they're really going to serve you well. The more you start to master them, the stronger they become, and that helps you become a mighty, mighty metaphysician. And it helps you also stay stable and rooted in your power when the 3D world does what the 3D world does. Sometimes the 3D world is cooperative and you meet people who are wonderful and they're in alignment and it goes really great and really easy. And other days it's going to kick the shit out of you. And if you don't have your mature metaphysics intact, then you're going to believe you're going to be undermined and taken over by the 3D world. And there is no power in that. So start to make those attributes your friends. Okay. So as it relates to what we talked about in Module 2, in Module 2, we worked on the third step of the becoming quantum process, the affirming the quantum. So step one, to remind you, is aligning with the quantum, which is what we do when we're doing our thank you portion of our work. And essentially what that thank you is doing, with no attachment to who you're thanking or what you're thanking it for, is it generates, this is a reminder, it generates a profound coherence rooted in mind, body, and heart that links you to the powerful coherence of the quantum. The second stage is clearing or forgiving all that isn't quantum, all that is limited, all that is conditioned, all of the patterning of fear and judgment and wounding and trauma and betrayal and all of that stuff, clearing that out layer by layer, all of that that isn't quantum. And then the third thing that we worked on in this module, in the teaching module, was affirming all that is quantum. Okay. And so those three steps are very basic. What it becomes is we learn to master them. And so that it becomes those three steps of aligning, forgiving, and affirming becomes something that we just do automatically, like driving a car. Okay. And so over and over and over again, I remind you that as quantum engineers, as metaphysicians, we know that consciousness creates. So we know that miracles happen in our consciousness first. Okay. So as we are doing the aligning, the forgiving, and the affirming, what we're doing in that process is that our energetic and mental practice goes deep into mind, goes deep into our consciousness, right? And remember that metta is deep. And so we're going deep into the physics of consciousness is what we're shaping here. Metaphysics, the metaphysics of miracles. The translation of that is the deep energetics of consciousness that shape reality. Okay. So when we're doing our meditative process of aligning, forgiving, and affirming, we are doing deep energetics. We're altering consciousness. So we're clearing out the limits of consciousness. We're clearing out errors. We're clearing out limits of perception. We're clearing out wrong thinking, if you will. We're forgiving sin. And then we are affirming, we're planting seeds of truth. We're planting seeds of power. So through that process, we are altering consciousness. And so when we understand what we're doing in that process, the knowing of what we're doing and why we're doing it puts all of the power. The power gets amplified. Okay? So this is why the more we understand the what and the why of an authentic mystical practice, that we start to gain power so much more efficiently. It starts to become so much more real, as opposed to somebody just saying, oh, think positively, vibrate high, love and light. It's like, nah. Right? When an astronaut goes into space, he or she has to know how to fly that rocket. They need to know exactly why they're doing what they're doing and why what they're doing is going to help their journey be safe, right? A jet pilot needs to know the physics of aeronautics so that while he's flying his jet, and if something goes wrong, he knows what to do or she knows what to do. So the more we understand the physics of metaphysics, the more powerful we become, the more, the bigger, more potent things we're able to do, right? There's a vast difference between somebody who knows how to ride a bicycle and somebody who knows how to fly the space shuttle, right? There's a whole lot of understanding and education of physics between those two people, right? So understanding these principles will essentially, for all intents and purposes, make the difference between most of the people out there in the spiritual New Age who are riding tricycles and somebody in the spiritual New Age who is flying the space shuttle. So knowing all of this puts so much more power back into your hand, into your mind and into your consciousness. Like, it's like driving a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or riding a thoroughbred racehorse as opposed to, you know, an old pony in a fairground. Okay, so super, super important. So I uploaded the new meditation. You'll find it there in the classroom. Uploaded the new meditation of affirming the quantum. And so what you'll find in the new meditation is it goes through the thank you part and the releasing part as well, the forgiveness part, where you're turning things over to the higher mind. I've also added into that guided meditation the forgiving of the originating sin, the sin of forgetfulness, the sin of separation. It's in there as well. But what you're going to notice in this new meditation is that the releasing of the error of separation and the affirming of the quantum is backed by music that isn't typical, soft, fluffy, you know, relaxing, gauzy, flowy kind of music, but rather in the affirming part and the releasing of the original sin, it has the music that backs that has an energy, has an impulse, and has an intensity to it that might feel unfamiliar, because most times when we do meditation, we're used to really soft and flowy music. And at the beginning of the meditation, where you're in the thank you part of it, that's there, that soft, flowy music is there, but then it shifts. Because what we want to be able to have is we want to be able to have impulse and intensity to add power to the I am statements of affirmation, right? It's not enough to go, I am love and light. I am one with the quantum. I am la, la, la. No. The music is there to powerfully support you in shifting into I am one with the Father. I am blessed. and prospered and abundantly guided. The quantum mind guides my mind. The quantum mind guides my words, my thoughts, my action. In every moment, I am supported, guided, loved, prospered in every way, in every moment. There's a power to it. And when you're in those statements of affirmation, that you declare that you own that quantum position, and the music will help you do that. And so when you're going through the guided meditation, what you might notice, especially if at the beginning, is that you're going to notice that your energetic field is going to expand. You're going to notice, you may notice, and if I just want to say this may happen, and it does tend to happen because it becomes very powerful. You may notice that you need to breathe deeper. Well, then if that happens, then breathe deeper. You may notice that your body gets hotter. You notice tingling. Fine. Let that happen. Don't resist anything. What you're doing is, even as I just stated those declarations, I could feel my own energetic field become stronger. I need to slow my breath down and breathe really big and deep. Okay. So you'll notice that the music in the quantum guided meditation is there to support you in generating that power and stepping into the declaration, the ownership of your quantum position, right? You may feel that the space around your body starts to expand. You may notice that just stuff starts to feel different. And if that starts to happen, then allow your breath to expand. Allow yourself to stay grounded and rooted. If it helps to imagine your energy going deep, deep, deep into the earth, into the very core of the earth, to ground it, again, like an electrical current, because essentially that's what you are doing. You are generating an amplified electrical current of power that you need to be able to manage, maintain, and ground so that it becomes, so that it can stay solid. Okay. And your body, your nervous system is going to take a while to get used to that, especially if you've been playing small, especially if you've been, you know, if you've had a history of victimization, or you're carrying a lot of trauma around with you, or you have, put your power in other people in the world. It's going to take a while for your body for that to feel normal, because it's a whole new different circuitry that you're running. So this is why it's important for us to be able to practice with this daily, because as you step into this greater level of quantum power, it's going to recalibrate your body. And it's, and again, this is so interesting that, you know, there's lots of people out there in the spiritual new age who say, you know, we're reformatting DNA, we're restructuring DNA. That's a massive energetic shift. But the body of the nervous system of the body needs to take time to adjust to. So when I had my spontaneous healing, when that tumor disappeared overnight, part of the reason that it happened so quickly, and part of the reason that there was so much energy and heat, and I mean, it was so hot that the body was going through a massive transformation in a very, very short amount of time. And we don't need to do it in that intense way. We can do it in a way that's gentle and elegant, and in a way that the body goes, oh my gosh, this is nice. I like this. This is cool. So be aware of what's happening through the process of that guided meditation. And also be aware of the very profound difference that you're going to notice in that quantum declaration, where you are saying, I am guided. I am supported. I am prospered in every way. My mind is guided by the quantum. My words, my actions, my being are guided by the quantum. The Father and I are one. That's a vastly different position of power. There's no begging there. There's no pleading. There's no asking God, some outside force, to do something for you. Right? Please, God, please heal me. Please, God, bring me something. Please, God, or reaching out to other people. Please pray for me. No, none of that. This is a vastly different position of power. So there's no begging. or asking some outside force to do something for you, what you are doing in the course of that guided meditation is it's a reconditioning of mind. It's a reconditioning of consciousness. You are putting it in alignment. You are moving it into phase with the quantum attributes. You are declaring that your attributes and the attributes of the quantum are the same thing. And the attributes of the quantum are power, health, wealth, abundance, well-being, prosperity, growth, expansion, creativity, evolution, timelessness, limitlessness, right? In order for us to gain access to that level of power, we have to make ourselves equal to it, or there won't be a connection. This, if we're going to talk about the law of attraction, where they say like attracts like, then this would be that you move yourself into that degree of power, you move yourself into that degree of phase, so that the quantum mind and all of its power and all of its abundance and all of its creative power can see you, can meet you. Okay. So as you're doing the guided meditation, your declarations, your quantum affirmations are backed with your power from a very clear, open, undistorted position, because we've removed conditioning, because of it, right? So we put ourselves into phase, and then the forgiveness part where we give forward our errors, that's a deconditioning, unconditioning. And then when we're affirming the nature of the quantum, we are reconditioning. So what this is doing then in that position, it plugs you in. You meet the quantum at the quantum level. The quantum is not going to come down to you. You have to meet it. Again, I said this in the first teaching module. The quantum says, come up to us and tell us what you want. Right? So you are, when you're doing this guided meditation, this is what you're doing. And from that position, you're speaking truth to power. That I am declaration, those I am declarations, those are the truth of who you are. Those are the truth of your divine nature. And you are speaking the truth of that divine nature to divine nature. And from that position, the seeds are energetically planted in your consciousness. When you are doing the forgiveness part, you are pulling out the weeds in your consciousness and you're clearing out the rocks in your consciousness. And then when you are affirming the quantum, you are planting the seeds of truth in your consciousness, which over time start becoming true in your 3D reality. And so when these quantum affirmations start to take root in your consciousness, your perception is altered. You begin to see and experience the world around you as it really is. Abundant, beautiful, prosperous, creative, balanced, ordered, harmonic. And that starts to run through your body as well, as a code of health and well-being and energy and clarity. That's who you really are. This is why in the Bible, the Holy Bible, and if you've listened to the Metaphysics of Christmas, we talked about that the translation of the Holy Bible is Helios Biblios, which means the writings of the sun. In the Holy Bible, when you're talking about people like Moses or Isaac or Abraham in the Old Testament in particular, that those guys lived to be 900 years old. Well, it's because they were so, again, and the Holy Bible is a story of consciousness, not a story about real people. It's a story of consciousness that Abraham and Isaac and Moses that lived, you know, to be hundreds and hundreds of years old. It was because they were plugged into the timeless, never been born, never died energy of the quantum. So their body functioned at that level of consciousness, not from the level of self that says, oh, I've only got in those days, maybe 40 years of life in me. And now where we're saying, you know, at this time, maybe we get 80 to 100. Well, if we're coming from the quantum, what could be possible there? what might be possible there. So when these knowings take root, your perception is altered, your body is altered, your mind is altered, your words are altered. Right? And in that quantum declaration where we say, the quantum mind guides my every thought, my every word, my every action. The quantum mind guides my money. The quantum mind guides my business. The quantum mind guides my success. It supports everything I do in every moment because it is me, right? So we're not making it separate from us. We're not saying that, something, some God force outside of us is doing this. No, 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 no. The Father and I are one. The quantum mind and I are one. The quantum mind, this thing that is so evolved, so powerful, so abundant, so ordered, that and that level of mind is you. It's you. It's you. It's not separate from you. It's not separate from me. Again, we are not giving power to something outside of ourselves. Remember our diagram of self, soul, and source. That is all you. All of those structures are you. So this conversation that you're having from this amplified level of power is a conversation you are having with your non-physical quantum self. It's you. It's you talking to you. It's just the expanded version of you. It's the you version infinity point one, right? So as this stuff starts to take root, we really commit to the idea that that level of my mind, that quantum level of my own mind, is guiding my money, it's guiding my health, it's guiding my body, it's guiding my relationships, it guides every word I say, it supports every thought I have, it helps me navigate every circumstance and every scenario and every situation in my day. That's the declaration we have to make. And over time, those seeds get planted in our consciousness, so it starts to become true. And then those realities, those quantum declarations, start to show up in your life. They show up as miracles. They show up as synchronicities. They show up as opportunities to learn. They show up as opportunities to handle something in a different way. And so they're not random, these miracles. They are a response to your quantum work. Ask and it is given. And so over time, you're going to start to see your inner world become more ordered and harmonic and peaceful and clear and balanced and feeling better, feeling prospered, even though nothing has changed in the outer world. And then you're going to start to see it change in the outer world. And it's that engagement, you'll start to see those things happen. Over time, you'll start to trust this process more and more and more as you start to see results. And you'll start to see something happen in the 3D world and you go, ha-ha, all right, that's a direct response to my quantum work. Thank you. Thank you, quantum. Thank you, me. So this is why when we're doing our meditation, we start with thank you, we end with thank you, so that when we see it in the 3D world, we go, ha-ha, I see it. Thank you. Thank you. I gotcha. Thank you. That came from my relationship to the quantum. That was not random. That is not some gift from some external God or some external universe outside of me. That is a result of my work with the quantum. Thank you. And as that relationship of trust starts to deepen in you, again, it's like you start to trust a person. When you ask a person to do something for you and they do it, you develop trust. And so eventually over time, you know without a doubt that you can count on that person to be there for you in any moment. This is how the relationship with the quantum, the Father and I, starts to become powerful and deeper, where you start to truly trust your relationship with that quantum mind. It's very difficult. And this too is why, areas of the New Age and areas of religion are so limited because, again, people think that the quantum mind, the God force, is somewhere outside of them, that there's angels or something outside of them that are going to suddenly bless them. And this is why they beg and plead, and they're very limited in the work, because there's not a relationship. There's not an understanding of what that dynamic of self, soul, and source, what those relationships actually look like. And so if you believe you are separate from that field, then it gets very, very hard to develop consistent results. And if you don't have consistent results, it's very hard to trust it. So it becomes this perpetual repeating loop of disappointment. It's like, why isn't it working? Why isn't it working? I ask people to pray for me. I pray. I ask. I beg for God's help. I beg for the universe's help. I ask for support. It's not working. It's not working. So it becomes this loop that never develops a momentum of consistent results. And so people, you know, 2 steps forward, 20 steps back. Right. So what we're wanting to do is develop a pattern of engagement that starts to develop results in the inner world, our inner nature first, greater calm, greater well-being, greater clarity of mind, less drama, an ability to be very present when the 3D world or somebody in it does stuff that's really, really interesting or that would normally trigger you. And you recognize that happening first. And then you start to recognize stuff happening in response to your request in the 3D world. That develops an intimate, deep, powerful trust in the quantum, in the divine mind, in the God force, whatever you want to call it. And from that position, then, the declaration of the quantum and I are one, or the Father and I are one, becomes true. It becomes true. It's not something you're just saying. It becomes very, very true. It becomes a knowing within you, right? And that truth alters your ability to create miracles. Lots of people out there in the world going, we're all one and it's all one, but they don't have a knowing of it because the knowing of it through experience, again, this is why experience, the trait of the modern mystic through experience, the knowing that comes through experience, because you've practiced it, you've put the principles into work, you've seen it work, you go, haha, I see that when I do this and this and this, I know that I'm going to get this result. Right? That becomes wisdom. And wisdom and knowledge becomes power. So this knowing, this power is vastly different through experience, where you know through this relationship, through this practice, that you have and are able to influence the 3D world. And when that knowing becomes ingrained in you, that's when you become a quantum master. That's when you become like Yoda, or any of the other mystics out there. You become like Jesus, you become like the Buddha. And when you are in that position, there is absolutely no desire in you to go out into the world and show that off. It becomes very personal. It becomes very private. It becomes very intimate. Again, just like having a deep, trusting, loving relationship with a person in the 3D world. If you're conscious, you're not going to be out blathering about your intimacies with that person. Becomes very sacred, becomes something that you share with only the people in your life who would understand that relationship, other mystics. It's not something that you blather on about, certainly not something you're going to go out into the 3D world and go, you know what, the quantum and I are one, the Father and I are one. You're not going to do it, because people will shit all over you or they'll accuse you of being insane. So this relationship, your knowing of the Father and I are one, your knowing of the quantum and I are one, that's a very deep, personal, intimate, sacred, honored, treasured relationship that becomes something that is uniquely and profoundly between you and the quantum field. It's strictly between you and God. It's strictly between you and the divine mind. You do not cast your pearls before swine. You don't go out into the world and talk about it. This is one of the questions that people will often ask. Well, if I become that powerful, am I going to get all egoic and go out into the world and be all ego? I'm like, no, you're not. Because it's such a beautiful and profound and deep connection, the last thing you're going to want to do is go out into the world and allow the world to interfere with that. So you will not become some big egomaniac. You will become so humble. And to be humble means to hold things close. To be humble means to keep things tender, to keep things sacred. That's the definition of humble. It doesn't mean to say, oh, I'm not all that. You know, I'm just a little. That's not humble. Humble means to hold things close, to hold things sacred. So, that's also a metaphysical definition of meek. In the Holy Bible, it says the meek shall inherit the earth. It doesn't mean that the people who are not proud, or the people who are what would be the definition? The people who are wandering around, who are broke and in poverty and scrambling around to structure life in any meaningful way. It's not that. It's people who keep things. They keep their power to themselves. They keep it close. That they go into the world and they hold that power meekly within themselves. It's not the ones who are out there spouting all over the place. That's not what it means to be the meek shall inherit the earth. It means the people who know their power and they contain it and they hold it very sacred and very treasured, that are going to be who will inherit the earth, the true earth, the true divine expression of the unconditioned reality, what people might call the Garden of Eden. So, as you practice and play with the guided meditation, then start to notice what you notice. I can't tell you how that will feel or how that will show up or how that will manifest for you. That's your job to find that. I give you the tools. I boot you out into the world. I say, go be curious. Go have an experience. Do your practice and notice what you notice. That's how you become a quantum master. Right. And then as you navigate through the 3D world, sometimes your miracles will show up via the path of least resistance. It'll be just like, boom, ooh, boom, there it is, boom, ooh, yeah, boom, boom, boom. Other times they'll show up and they'll ask you to grow, to step deeper into your power. It's the highest good. So sometimes they show up along the path of least resistance. Sometimes the miracles will show up in the path of the highest good, meaning on the path of the highest good, it will ask you to step into greater levels of power. It will ask you to forgive and release more conditioning. It will say, how much braver can you be? How much more can you release? How much more power can you call forward? How much more willingness are you able to step into this relationship with the quantum? So some of it will be really easy, super, super easy, light and breezy, show up, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, done. Other times it's going to require you to really say, what am I holding on to? What have I not forgiven? What level of consciousness is this running through? What pattern of limitation am I still, what is this scenario in my 3D world asking me to look at? So that I can transform it, so I can generate a miracle in consciousness first that will then take shape in the 3D world. That's how you get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. It's not going to be the miracles along the path of least resistance that make you stronger. It's going to be the miracles that ask you to step into the level of highest good that are going to make you stronger. So be prepared for both of those scenarios, both of those structures to show up. And that if you're bumping into scenarios that are more aligned with the path of highest good, if you know ahead of time why those are showing up, then you won't freak out. You go, aha, okay. All right, I see. This is asking me for more clarity. This is asking me for more presence. This is asking me to really dig deep and say, what is the 3D world showing me that I've got to dig deep to move so that I can generate a miracle here? And that miracle, again, might show up as a money situation. It might show up as a transformation in a relationship. It might show up as a job opportunity. It might show up as a health condition being completely reversed, as it was in my case. But when you start to see those things happening and you start to trust them, that's when you start to develop confidence in this process. So have fun with the new guided meditation. So that's this coaching. That's the teaching for this coaching call. I want to invite you all. I will be starting, and I'm inviting you guys to this first before I open it up to my entire audience. I will be doing a group coaching. I have a visioneering group coaching coming up starting in mid-January, where we will apply the visioneering strategies, the ability to engineer a vision using quantum concepts and quantum principles. It's a three-month group training where if you've got a vision, a dream, a goal, or a desire to shape in the 3D world for next year, which next year is 2020 is the year of prosperity here at Modern Mystics, to be able to do that in a big, powerful, rooted, grounded way, then I'm inviting you guys to join me in the group coaching as I start third week of January. I'll be sending out details, but I wanted to plant that seed for you guys now. And I've also, as my schedule is getting busy in the new year, as the NASA show starts to come forward towards the end of April, I've got only a few one-on-one coaching spots available. So I'm announcing those to you guys first, but I know that some of you who have one-on-one coached with me last year, or this year rather, and you took a break, which is what I always encourage you to do. But if you're wanting to resume with me in your one-on-one coaching, now's the time to touch base. So if you are interested in resuming in the new year, please let me know as soon as possible, because as I say, I'm going to do a limited number of those this year, rolling into the NASA show. So I will be sending out announcements regarding the group coaching and the details regarding that, and the one-on-one coaching, the details regarding that. Again, I'm making this available to you guys first. I will be sending it out to my entire list probably in the next day or two. So if you're interested or you have questions, email me as soon as possible, and we can get back and have a conversation about what that might look like. So I just wanted to put that out there for you. So now if you've got questions, now you can type your question into the Q&A box, or if you have, if you had noticings about your homework that we did this week, you can type your questions into the homework, or sorry, into the Q&A box. And I'm just going to double here to see if we had any email questions come in. I didn't notice any this morning. I had to be up at 4 o'clock this morning to head out to the barn. My training coach is she's doing a bunch of new stuff at another barn. She's got a whole new other barn that she's working at. So her schedule is quite out of whack. And so I had to be up at 4 and out at the barn at 5. So I didn't have time to check if anybody had sent me any email questions. So I'm going to do that right now. See what happens. I was at the barn this morning and took care of my horse and got him exercised, and then headed back so that I could play with you guys today. And I'm probably going to head out again later this afternoon to go for a ride before the rain kicks in. It's supposed to start raining here over Christmas, and when it rains over Christmas, when it rains, can't ride. So I've got a busy day today. Doesn't look like it, so that's good. Let me. Okay, I don't see it. Okay, guys, if you got questions, type them in. But in the meantime, I see that there's a hand up here. So this is Kate. Hi, Kate.
Oh, hi, Simone. Thank you so much. This class is so wonderful. I'm a little bit behind. It's been solstice is also the anniversary of my father's death, and I took action yesterday to get these lawsuits in. Like these big, mm-hmm. the big things that I felt like energy was trying to get me to miss. And I I found a lawyer and was able to get these things in. And I started to realize that so much of these lawsuits that are taking the money from the estate and all that are just based on lies. And when I just shine the truth on it and shine the truth kind of on myself, and they're trying to, you know, say all these things that I didn't have a good relationship with my father and this, and I found his text messages, and I was like, wait a minute, this was loving and kind, and all I need to do is show these to the court, you know, and show the truth. And then my power starts coming back instead of being frozen in fear about these lawsuits and stuff, to stand, to take back my power and to come into that the light or the truth. And then it all sort of looks like an illusion, or, you know, but it's still real in the 3D. So, so that I felt like there was sort of energies, whether they were inside of me or outside, sort of not wanting me to take that power or to show the truth of those things. And so are those, this can be inside battles and outside. Like, also, I think the last time I talked to you, we were in Fort Lauderdale doing the plant medicine, and we felt like outside energies. And what I realized after that night, like, I realized that that place was taking some energy too. Like, I was, but I was giving, I was giving my energy to them, like paying this place, you know, to do the plant medicine there where it wasn't for my highest good. And it's actually stronger for me to do that alone in a sacred way, not in like a group of new age people and stuff. And so I realized, you know, I totally disconnected from all energies there, and you know, taking my power back from that. That sometimes when I've done it myself, I still feel some of that dark energies come in, and they're different spirits or something. So is that kind of a similar thing of, but it's like from inside things taking our power and keeping us from our truth?
So there's a couple of things to talk about here. Just let me make some notes here. What we talk about, a lawyer, outer spirit. So let's talk about the lawyer lawsuit scenario first. So what the position that will put you into power is, especially if we're playing in the quantum, is if we say, okay, the lawyer and the judge even are not the source of my success in this lawsuit. It's not up to the lawyer or the judge to benefit me here. My relationship with the quantum is going to be what brings me success here. It's not, it's, and my declaration that I am loved, I am supported in the highest way, that truth and light and life guides my every opportunity, guides my every word, guides my every action, guides my every outcome. The power of truth, clarity, honor, abundance, power. That's what guides you. So the fear that comes up, the tangle comes up, is when the self goes, these lawyers and this judge and anybody else involved in this scenario, they've got the power. They've got the control, which isn't true. Your relationship with the quantum is what has the power. So part of what helped you there is in being able to, and when you come from that position, that the outer world, the lawyers, the doctors, the Indian chiefs, whoever it is that you're dealing with, they do not have the power. Your consciousness has the power. The outcome for the highest good, your declaration when you do your quantum work is, I am one with the quantum mind, and it guides everything towards my highest good. Towards my highest good. And that allows you to pull all of your energy out of the lawyer, out of anybody else, and it allows then for you to start following your intuition. Your intuition might say, okay, let's pull up these papers because there's what's really true. Show up with that. And it will give you little nudges and little bits of guidance. I can give you guys an example. As you guys know, I'm working on this big NASA show. The show for the budget for this NASA show is $1 million. I don't have $1 million laying around, but I've been funding it out of my own pocket for the last 2 years, and it's getting pretty darn expensive. I can't fund it anymore. And I hired fundraisers earlier this year to start raising money for me, to go out to foundations, to get sponsorships, and they haven't done it. They're six months behind schedule. They haven't sent out a single proposal, and we're 5 months out. And at first I was getting really freaked out and really panicked. And I was like, oh my God, they haven't done their job. They haven't done their job. They haven't done their job. And I thought, no, hold on. Those fundraisers are not responsible for my money. My quantum mind is responsible for my money. My relationship with the field to get me my $1 million in the next 5 months, that's the relationship I need to be focusing on. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm still pushing them. I'm no longer paying them because they haven't been doing their job. I'm still on them to say, you guys need to get this done. This needs to happen. This needs to happen. I'm still riding them in the 3D world, but I'm not giving them the power. I pulled all of the power out of them, and I go into my meditation and I say, I release and I forgive within myself whatever construct in consciousness that I'm carrying that generated this scenario, that somebody who I paid is not doing their job. Somewhere in my consciousness is creating that. So I'm saying, okay, I forgive whatever error in thought that I have within myself that has caused this scenario. I forgive it. I hand it forward. And then I go into the quantum declaration where I say, divine mind is the source of my money for this event. Divine mind guides and supports this event. It's not the people. It's divine mind. And as that becomes more and more true, then resistances are falling away. The people that I need in Pasadena are showing up, different opportunities for me to be able to go directly to somebody who I could say, look, I need $500,000 and I need it tomorrow. Those kind of people are showing up in the world. So what I want you to be able to recognize is this applies to any of you. If there's a scenario in your world that is challenging you, you go, okay, I have to pull all of my energy back, just like I pulled all of my energy out of the people, because it didn't matter what I did. It didn't matter how hard I pushed them or how many times a week I called them. I couldn't get the time back, right? The time is gone. So I need a miracle, right? I need a miracle. If I still had a year, then perhaps, you know, we could use old strategies in the 3D world to get done what we need to get done, but we need a miracle. So in order to get the miracle, the consciousness has to be pulled out of the 3D and put 100% into the quantum. So does that make sense? And it's the same with, if you're in an environment and it feels weird, or it feels like, you know, there's energy that's pulling you, go, hang on a minute. I'm going to pull all of my energy back from this environment. Pulling it all back, I'm going to go into my own mind and say, whatever it is that I'm carrying around in my consciousness that would cause this situation to feel this way, I'm going to forgive it. I don't need to know where it is, what it came from. I'm going to say, I know it's here in my consciousness. I give it forward. I surrender it so that the higher mind can clear it away so that it is forgiven. And then we do our quantum prayer, that we are constantly guided, supported, safe, loved, and protected, that the quantum mind, the God mind, guides you in every way, shape, or form, that starts to be what is true. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when I can bring in those attributes of the divine mind or of God into myself, like those power, wisdom, strength, the 12 disciples, when I can when I can bring those into my energy and be in alignment with God, and then those other illusions of fear and lack of power and people taking my power will go away, because
that's
I'll just
right.
be focused in
that's
those,
right.
in one with that unity
that's
of
right.
that power.
That's right. Yep. Exactly. 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 Exactly.
And somehow I forget in those certain times, maybe, you know, of that, where it's all like, because you go into, like, I've been, you know, just it seems interesting in these different dimensions, and then
yeah.
you it's very interesting to observe, but I think doing it again, I would have those prayers maybe written down and really, really be conscious of it, of the energies around and within me and things.
And the guided meditation, if you listen to the guided meditation, I walk you through it. So those thoughts and those words start to become hardwired in your brain. So you don't have to read it, because as I guide you through the guided meditation, it starts to become something that you memorize. And it becomes hardwired in your system, so that when you're driving to work or you're in these environments, that prayer is constantly running through your circuit. Right? It's constantly running through your circuit.
And then I can ask you one practical question of, you know, this lawyer. I feel like sometimes when I hire these lawyers, then it gives them all this power, where instead I almost need to keep that power myself and have a team, like a team of lawyers, where I'm not giving one of them all of this ability, or that they're still answering to me, and that I can brainstorm with kind of some different thing. Like it feels like giving your, I don't know, and then they make mistakes, and they, you know, it has to be a very, or is that still within my mind or something in me that's allowing for these?
Well, you can ask,
file.
You can ask the quantum mind to help you build the best team, right? And I'd wished I had done that before I hired these people. I didn't do it. But you can say, okay, the quantum mind hires, it helps the quantum mind is guiding my team. The quantum mind, and you can also say, you can also, before you go into a meeting, and I do this now before I go into any meeting, and I told you guys about the story of me, you know, landing at the mayor's table in a room full of 400 people, that before you do anything, you say, my higher mind guides me now. My higher mind is guiding my every word, my every action, my every thought. And I call on the power of my higher mind to guide me in this moment. So you'll know what to say to the lawyer. You'll know whether or not it's appropriate and wise to hire another person, because you're setting yourself up in that moment to not be walking into that room as Kate, who has all of these habits of power and powerlessness, but you're walking into that room as your quantum self. And that's a very different person. Right?
Yeah, I really feel that, like the powerful me that stands up straight, that feels, you know, all this, and then the me that gets kind of the tension in my back and that fear and that kind of other weakening energy or powerlessness. And so I see the two, almost like the two identities very clearly sometimes with this. And I'm starting to switch, and I think my discernment wasn't attuned correctly or something. Like, like even this friend said, oh, can I stay with you for 3 days with his girlfriend? And then they stayed for 3.5 weeks and were draining me and like pretending to be helping. Yet, you know, they were fixing lights outside, but none of the lights work. And it was just stealing food from the cupboard. And I was like, what is going on? So it's like, I need to call back all that power and discernment. And then whatever was in me that was attracting these kinds of people that were feeding off me instead of, you know, being in alignment with divine energies and stuff, that I realized there was something in me that was drawing these people. And same with the pattern in my father, drawing those people that were feeding off him and stuff. So to just stop that pattern and claim back that power.
And the quantum, when you're coming from the quantum mind, your boundaries become very strong. Right. When you're coming from a position of power, you can say to your friends, listen, I've loved having you here, but it's time for you to go. It's time for you to go. It's been great. I'm glad that I could give you a resource, but you got to go. Bye.
And I should have done that after 3 days, you know, not 3 weeks.
Well, yeah.
And
again, you start to notice when the power leak happens, you start to go, I've felt this before. I've been in this scenario before. I've done this before. What would the quantum me do? The quantum me would say, okay, no more. Right. Because again, that opportunity where somebody comes in and says for 3 days and they're there for 3.5 weeks, that's a path of highest good. That's an opportunity for you to go, okay, I'm losing power. What needs to change here? What needs to change here? What needs to be altered here? Right.
And
And
it's
to
so
be able
interesting to see how I was giving my power. Like even this friend that could have been a potential business partner and very synergistic, like from California, and I would have had access to like a plane and like boats and all of that. And then I gave my power away by mixing lending money, thinking I was making a good business decision. And then like I gave my power, like looking back on it, it's crazy because if I had just not done that and stayed in my strengths or something, instead of feeling like I had to, I don't know, like I see the pattern maybe also from childhood of saying, okay, I have to plead or I have to, something like just not staying in my strengths, and then it sabotages and stuff beyond, what
And
I
so
could
in those
imagine.
situations, again, this is a repeating pattern. You go, ah, I see. I have a repeating pattern of giving my power away to external people. And if we say, okay, that guy, that business partner, he is not the source of my success. My relationship with the divine quantum mind, that's the source of my success. And so if then you can go into your divine mind and you say, is this from that position of quantum, then you say, is this guy really a benefit? Because if he's not the source of your success, if your quantum mind is the source of your success, then you're able to, then there's no desperation in the 3D world. You're not going to be tempted to make the same erroneous choices that you've made before by giving other people your power. So the reminder here is that we pull all of our power back from the 3D world, and we say, consciousness, my quantum consciousness is the source of my power. And it's funny because as I'm doing that, I'm poking myself in my forehead. I don't know if you can hear me tapping my forehead. A really good tool is when you guys find yourself getting squirrely and losing and not feeling grounded, to tap yourself on your third eye and remind yourself. Because when we're in fear, the amygdala part of our brain, the old reptilian ancient lizard part of our brain, is what gets activated. And so we do shit that we've always done that's rooted in fear. But when we're coming from our quantum mind, different portions of our brain are lit up. And so if you tap yourself on the forehead, it's funny that I was doing that. If you tap yourself on the forehead to say, my quantum mind is active, my quantum mind is guiding me, that activates the frontal cortex of the brain, which is far more sophisticated, far more able to access those realms. So if you're finding yourself in fear, and I don't do any kind of tapping, but I was just noticing that I was doing that as I was saying it. So you use whatever comes up. Tap yourself in that third eye and say, my quantum mind is guiding me. I know exactly what to say, and I know exactly what to do as I'm guided by the quantum mind. That pulls all of the energy out of the reptilian brain and puts it in the frontal cortex.
Oh, that's going to be so helpful. That's going to
Yeah.
be, and I've been led to some things like on YouTube that Wim Hof and different things where people are using the power
Yeah.
of their mind to then, like, they're in cold water and they can raise their body temperature and they can, we have no idea the power
Yeah.
that we have available.
That's
It's
right.
amazing.
Yeah. And I just know Wim Hof is the guy who does a lot of breath work and goes under ice and stuff, right? He's that guy.
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah, it was him, but he's also taught 13 people how to do that, and they've done all these scientific tests where they give him poison and he can just clear it from his using his mind, and it was interesting.
Yeah, he's coming from the quantum. And again, that's an example. Poison is a 3D structure. If he's coming from the quantum mind, that poison will have no effect on him. There are masters in the world, and I know a couple of them who have, one of them in particular, who's very, very profoundly quantumly trained, and he didn't eat for 3 years. He did not eat for 3 years, and he didn't lose any weight. He got all of his energy from the quantum. And then one day he's like, meh, I would really like a steak. And so he started eating again. So
Wow.
that's what I mean at that heightened level of the quantum. Now, this is not something that I recommend you guys do. Please don't go drink poison. But what that is a representation of is you can train your mind to not need oxygen, as in Wim Hof's case, where he can train people to go underwater for 15 minutes and not need to breathe. And right, so, but the idea of tapping on that forehead to activate the forward frontal cortex of the brain will help, just to get you stable. But
yeah,
I hope that helps.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Kate. Thank you. So, you know, when we're playing in these questions of the quantum, it would be naive and foolish to, at this stage of the quantum practice, to say, I'm going to go hang out underwater for 13 minutes, or I'm going to drink poison and expect that nothing's going to happen. You have to develop this relationship with the quantum mind. You have to be able to put yourself in it. You have to really get clear about the understanding that the physical 3D world has no effect on the quantum mind. And if the body is run by the quantum mind, then the body is immune to the 3D world, immune to needing to breathe every 6 seconds or whatever, immune to drinking poison, immune to needing to eat for 3 years. But again, that's advanced ninja stuff. But isn't it interesting to be curious about that, to be curious about what those potentials are, as a place to set your start, as a place to set your target? Say, what would it be like down the road if I could do that? If I could train my mind to be that profoundly quantum that I could step out of the 3D world and not need to eat if I didn't want to, or could go underwater for 13 minutes if I wanted to be curious about that. Great, we got some questions here. Beth says, hi, Simone, can you please talk more about your take on angels? You mentioned them briefly as something not being outside of us. Insights on angels, guides, ascended masters, etc. is much appreciated. So an angel, metaphysically, is known as a thought of God. Angels are thoughts of God, which is why in mystical texts it's always said that God sent his angels. And the angels, you know, Gabriel, the angel of peace, or Michael, the angel of courage, Uriel, the angel of grace. I'm not super familiar with all of their powers. But an angel is a God thought. And so when the angels, people have visions of angels, it's a spark in consciousness that is a spark of the divine that carries that impulse of, let's just say it's Archangel Michael. That's a God thought, the thought in consciousness that carries an impulse of courage. Or if it's Gabriel, the angel of peace. And again, forgive me, I'm not thinking angels right now. If I was on the angel track right now, I'd be able to name them all. But so what they are is they are God thoughts. They are sparks of consciousness that we carry within us, that we recognize, that they are a part of us. They are not separate from us because there is only, we are the only one here. So an angel can't be separate from us because we are the only one here. So they do not come from an external source. They come from within our own realm of consciousness, and they are a God thought. And a God thought, when it is received strongly enough within our consciousness, it becomes a visual structure. We can see it visually, or we close our eyes and we have a vision of an angel, or we're out riding around in the 3D world and we see something that looks like an angel, and it reminds us to have courage, or reminds us to have faith, reminds us to have patience or persistence. It's the same with guides, ascended masters, etc. When we talk about guides, again, guides aren't something separate from us. They are a level of our consciousness. So when you're working with your guides, again, it's a level of your own. It's a level of your own consciousness. It just feels separate and different because it exists at a different level of consciousness within yourself. Same with the ascended masters. Jesus as an ascended master is a part of your own consciousness. And again, Jesus, if you listen to the metaphysics of Christmas, Jesus was a guy. Jesus was a dude who existed in the physical 3D skin suit. Christ, the energy of Christ, is an eternal consciousness. Always been here, always will be. Before Abraham was, I am. That's the Christ. Jesus was a guy. Jesus shows up in a skin suit. So some people have visions of Jesus, and the messages that come from Jesus as the Christ, that is a consciousness within ourselves. The same with, you know, Saint Germain as an ascended master or any of the other ascended masters. They are God thoughts. They are sparks of consciousness within the entire realm of consciousness that we all carry, that if we're paying attention, can have access to. Right? But your skin suit as Beth is an illusion. My skin suit as Simone is an illusion. Simone and Beth exist in the same quantum consciousness. The disguise is that Beth and Simone are separate. So if you want to really fry your noodle, the fact that I am teaching you right now means that Beth is teaching Beth, because there is no one here. I, as Simone, am teaching myself. So when we have visitations from angels or ascended masters, those are sparks of consciousness within us that we are recognizing. That in a moment, we are having an interaction with them. There were several occasions many years ago where I was, and it wasn't long after I had my spontaneous healing, where I would just be, I would be sitting in my bedroom and, you know, or I'd have the lights down and I'd have lit a couple of candles, and I felt there was a wind in my bedroom, and I felt something hovering over top of me, and I felt a wing brush my cheek. I mean, and it was so close that it actually turned my head. And I was like, whoa, what is that? And the energy in the room was so profoundly full of grace and peace, but it had manifested itself in the physical 3D world. But it is an expression of a divine thought. It is an expression of the consciousness of mind. It is just like you are. So the angels are no different than you. The guided masters, the ascended masters, the guides, none of them are separate from you. They just appear, materialize in a different way to catch your attention in a different way, right? Oftentimes the quantum, the divine mind, will materialize itself in the 3D world so that it can catch our attention in a different way. Right? It needs to separate itself from the invisible so that it can catch you. So it can say, hey, like Lily barking here right now, right? She's like, hey, there's somebody outside. Hey, there's something you need to pay attention to. Hey. And so it'll show up in those ways. So are angels real? Yes, yes and no, because there's nothing in the 3D world that is authentically real. They are an expression of the God mind, manifesting itself in a physical way or an energetic way or a visual way to catch our attention. And that is how the quantum mind, divine mind, the Holy Spirit reaches you. The other ways are, you know, through a class like this. This is the quantum mind connecting to you disguised as me, your teacher. Or you'll hear, you know, you'll drive by a billboard. That's also a God thought, if that catches your attention, right? So that's how I would define those things. I hope that helps, Beth. It's all a part of your own consciousness. And therefore, if it's all a part of your own consciousness, you have access to it anytime you want. Anytime you need. It's not separate from you. From your position of quantum power, call on it. Call on courage. You know, call on the quantum mind, the Archangel Michael or whatever. That's a part of the quantum mind. Say, the quantum mind gives me courage. The quantum mind gives me clarity, and disguised as whatever angel. You know, Michael is courage and Uriel is grace and Gabriel is love or something. Again, forgive me. Do you understand? So that's how I would answer that for you, dear Beth. Hope that helps. Let's see here. good questions here, guys. Bill. Hi, Bill. Bill says, hi, Simone. You stated when you come from the quantum mind, your boundaries become very strong. I've noticed I'm less hesitant to create an ask as I fear less the response, and I also have the power to stand my ground. It seems like this might be related to boundaries. Could you please speak to this? Thank you. Yes, boundaries. Well, let's get clear about this. When we come from the quantum, boundaries, when we come from the quantum, because we have so much more power in the quantum, and the quantum is running through our physical skin suit, as Bill or as Simone, when we're running from quantum, we have more power to say what we will and will no longer allow or accept. Again, it's like the image in the teaching modules where that there's that picture of Keanu Reeves as Neo holding the bullets up saying no. That's a boundary where from the quantum mind, Neo is able to say no. These bullets are not going to interfere with my field. And my field is so powerful that all I need to do is say yes to something or no to something. And that if I say yes to it, then I invite it in. If I say no to it, then it does not cross. So when we come from that level of clarity and power, and we run it through our skin suit, we run it through our personal identity as Bill or Simone or Kate or Beth or Neo, then the ability to say yes or no to something in a really clean, clear, fearless way comes online in a really interesting way. And so you have the power to stand your ground without losing your shit, right? There's a lot of people out there who will say, I have really strong boundaries. And I say, no, you can't cross this boundary. No, I have really strong boundaries. That's not a strong boundary. That's fear running a boundary, right? That's not standing your ground. That's having a hissy fit. But if you're able to say no, no, and have people hear you and be able to stay rooted in your power from that position, that is quantum, right? Think of, again, using the analogy of Neo and the bullets. So we don't, when we're coming from the quantum mind, it's very easy and powerful to say, it's very easy to say no, and it's very clean, and it's very precise. It's like a laser beam, and it's just no. That does not work for me. No, I am not doing that with you. No. Right. Or conversely, yes. Yes, I will say yes to that. That sounds great. Yep. Yes. So a quantum yes and a quantum no, they both have equal amounts of power because they're both rooted in that more expanded level of power and mind. And so if you find yourself being able to sort of stand your ground and say no, not rooted in any kind of fear, then yeah, that's coming from quantum. And learning how to say no in a healthy way, especially kind of like what Kate was talking about earlier, being able to say, especially as people pleasers, especially as people who are empathetic or sensitive or want to be able to offer things to people, they'll tend to get walked on and walked over and taken advantage of a lot. And the only way that that kind of person can safely say no is from a position of fear or from a position of vulnerability or from a position of anger. Whereas a person who's coming from their complete and total quantum nature, who doesn't need approval from other people, doesn't need people to like them, there it's very easy for the quantum mind to say no. So cool. I'm the boundaries become very strong, but not from a position of not from a position of resistance, not from a position of fuck you, but from a position of sovereign self-rule. Again, bringing us back to one of the four character traits of the mature modern mystic: sovereignty, self-rule, and power. The king of a kingdom gets to say yes or no to anything he wants because he rules the kingdom. He is the position of power. It's the same when we're playing in the quantum. When we become sovereign, self-ruled, self-governed, we can say no. And no is a full sentence. Don't need to justify. We don't need to explain. We don't need to give a dissertation as to why. Right? Again, using Neo as the example, he didn't go no, hold up his hand no to the bullets, and then explain to the guys who were shooting at him, well, you can't shoot at me because that's mean and you'll kill me and la la. He just said no. So I hope that helps clarify that. But that's great. If you're noticing a greater degree of power and being able to stand in your, have these boundaries that that you're noticing, then that's wonderful. That's great. Hope that helps. Good. Gosh, I've got questions here. Hang on, my computer is fussing around here. Hold on. Here we go. Sandy says, hi, Simone. Thanks a lot for the quantum upgrade class. I added the information, and it was so much power and light at the same time. I feel a beautiful strange within me. I'm experiencing old consciousness during my dreams and reinforcing that I am not separated from the quantum mind. I don't suffer in the dreams. I'm applying it even as a mantra not to engage with the old beliefs when some hole appears in my way. And working so much with this place where I live, which sometimes is hard to see that the government has goodness. I don't give up. Sandy lives in Mexico, and in a, you know, Mexico is quite corrupt and dangerous right now. So Sandy's been using her environment of Mexico to really deepen her mystical and metaphysical practice. She says, every time is easier and I'm more aware in my thoughts, words, and actions. During the meditation is more real to feel the oneness with the quantum mind with more practice and more engagement. Even when I'm walking, driving, or doing some other affair, I take some minutes to reconnect with the quantum. If I'm outside practicing, I don't care if I look crazy. Thank you, Simone. Working with you is the best for my soul. I admire you so much. New classmates, Simone is the best of the best. You are in perfect hands. Happy holidays, classmates from Sandy. That's so sweet. That's so sweet. Thank you, dear. Yeah, but this is what I mean. The process of this sinks in over time. And in an environment, for example, like what Kate had talked about, or what Sandy talks about, where she's in a, you know, she lives in Mexico, which can be quite dangerous, or, you know, Bill, I don't know what the circumstances were that you needed to stand your ground and have healthy boundaries. But that your environment, especially if you step into a mystical practice, your environment, even if it's challenging, it is serving your quantum practice, right? Like these fundraisers that I've hired for the NASA show, they are serving the advancement of my quantum practice. They're reminding me every day, okay, deepen it, make it stronger, deepen it, make it stronger, because I've been able to use my quantum practice in other ways to shape money, to transform a tumor, to you know, build a career, to all this other stuff. But it's like now, aha, all right, let's see. Can we do this in a bigger way? So the things that show up in your life, the lawyers, the moochers who live in your house for 3.5 weeks, the people you need to stand up and have boundaries towards, the environment that you live, if you've got a government that is not conscious, those things are there to help you build your metaphysical muscle. We need those things in the 3D world to build our quantum power, right? And the way we do that is by pulling all of our power out of the 3D world and turning completely inward to the quantum. So in Sandy's case, where she lives in an environment that is violent and corrupt, her quantum practice is, I am surrounded by grace and goodness and beauty and light and kindness and generosity. The quantum mind in all of its goodness and all of its grace guides me in every moment. It leads my life in every moment to the goodness and the beauty and the awesomeness that is truth. That becomes a quantum prayer that we practice in an environment like that. It's like the scriptural story in the Bible of Daniel being thrown into the den of lions, he was being punished for his, the metaphysics of the story of Daniel is Daniel was being punished by the king because prayer was, this is the story, that the prayer was ruled illegal and anybody who prayed in public would be executed. And so Daniel was spotted praying. And so he was thrown into the lion's den so that to be executed. And so Daniel is thrown into this pit with all of these lions, but he used his quantum prayer, his quantum faith that he was safe and he was guided and he was supported and he was kept eternally safe by the quantum mind, that nothing in the 3D world, not even lions, could interfere with him. And he kept that in his thought. And when the guards came to the pit in the morning with the expectation of finding, you know, nothing but bones because the lions would have eaten him, Daniel was sitting amongst the lions and the lions hadn't eaten him. And so they were forced to release Daniel. And so that is an expression of, that is a story, again, of consciousness in the Bible of using your quantum mind. Daniel was using the quantum mind to keep himself safe in a pit of lions. He gave no power to the lions. The only thing he gave power to was his quantum mind to say, I am safe in every moment. The quantum mind keeps me safe and protected. Nothing harms me here. Nothing in the 3D world has any power to hurt me. So when something comes forward in your 3D world, you get to adopt the idea of Daniel in the lion's den and use the quantum mind to keep you safe. So super powerful. Beth says, my noodle is totally fried. Good, we need to fry that noodle. Still trying to wrap myself around all of this information and apply it to my practical day. I'll keep working on it. Thank you for explaining. Yeah, listen, it is. It's very heady. This is an advanced class. No two ways about it. There is no way in heaven that I could have started teaching this stuff, this quantum stuff, at the beginning, right? I've been teaching modern mystics for, gosh, I don't know how many years now, going on, when is this, 2020? Going on 10 years, maybe even longer. And this is the first time that the quantum lesson has felt correct, because it's advanced. It's big time stuff. It will fry your noodle. It will alter your reality, just like it fried the noodle of Neo in the Matrix. He's like, holy shit, what do you mean? What do you mean reality isn't real? What do you mean there's something else? What do you mean? So, yeah, have fun with it. Go watch the movie The Matrix. I always recommend when you're working quantumly, go watch the movie The Matrix. All sorts of information in there about what we're talking about. Disguised as entertainment. But yeah, just have fun with it. Play with it. Experiment with those energies of the mature modern mystic of curiosity, experience, power, and sovereignty. And just notice what you notice. But goody, I'm glad we fried your noodle. Ah, my job is done. A noodle has been fried. Sandy goes on to say something else. I opened more to feel whatever fear appears when I'm doing new things to stay out of the comfort zone and to put order into myself when it's telling me it's not going to work. I breathe. It doesn't matter where I am in that moment. I look for a place where I can breathe and forgive the issue and myself. This is the important part. Thank you. Thank you, Simone. Happy holidays, beautiful quantum engineers, as our mentor says. Yes. The important thing of it is there, if you're going to find yourself in a moment of fear, if you're finding yourself in a moment of resistance, if you find yourself trying to control a scenario in the 3D world, if you could say, I forgive the issue and myself in this moment. I forgive this issue and I forgive myself in this moment. What you're doing in that moment is you're giving up your consciousness so that the higher mind, the quantum mind, can drop in. And the quantum mind is not afraid. The quantum mind has no fear. So anytime you feel fear about anything, anytime you feel resistance about anything, you go, okay, hang on. I'm coming from my self mind. I get it. There's a pattern of conditioning running through my mind right now that is generating this fear. is generating this resistance, is generating this doubt. I recognize it, and you know what? In this moment, I'll breathe and I'll forgive it. I'll breathe and I'll forgive it. Neighbors are here. Hang on, let me just move Lily again. I'll be right back, guys. Stay tuned.
I know. I hear you too.
Okay, sit down. No, no more barking. Sorry about that, guys. She's doing her job. She's doing her job. Okie dokie. Great. So I hope that the answers to those questions make sense. But yeah, this is a process. It's a process. It unfolds. It unfolds. All right, go into the phones. Go into the phones. Who do we have? Is this Christina?
Can you hear me?
Is this Christina? Okay, that's your Beverly Hills number. There we go.
Hello.
How's it going? Hello, can you hear me?
Hello.
Can you hear me, Christina? I can hear you.
I don't know which line you're on.
I'm on the, okay, hold on. So I'm going to mute them both. Hold on. Okay. I'm on the Beverly Hills line. Are you there?
Perfect. Yep.
Good.
Hi.
Okay. Hi. How are you?
I thought the line kept dropping on my end, so I tried it. I put it on the second line to go. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your brilliance and your genius and your experience and everything with this. It really is extraordinarily helpful and so extraordinarily timely.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. So
and you're
very
welcome.
Very good. The prayer, the meditation that you originally gave us, like from the week before, that
uh-huh.
had all the same elements other than, like, I gather affirmations with.
Hold on. Hang on a second, Christine. Hang on a second, just a minute. Sorry about that. My plan was to put her in the car, but it didn't work. So go ahead.
So from, because I was doing the original meditation every day,
mm-hmm.
and had those elements, you know, of the, you know, of the thank you and the forgiving,
mm-hmm.
and you know, releasing and affirming, you know, exceeding the quantum. So
mm-hmm.
this is an expansion of that, or the second one is an expansion of that with more affirmation and with power with it?
Yeah.
And are we you doing both?
You can, well, so what I invite you to do is to go to, so if you've been practicing with the first one, that's great. That's awesome. You know, think of that like getting your muscles warmed up. And then the one that I uploaded yesterday, the one that's in there now, it's more powerful. It's what it does is the thank you part is a little bit shorter. The forgiveness part is a little bit shorter and the affirmation part is more powerful. So you can continue to play with the first one just as again, sort of like, you know, as a warm up, as a muscle thing is to build the muscles. But, and what you might notice, and this is what it was important that I made the distinction and why it was important that I mentioned it to you in the teaching today was that when you add power to the affirmations, and again, the music supports you in that, that we've got to be able to do that gently. So if you, again, to give the nervous system time to build up to it. So if you can play with the new one, do that one day, and then go back to the first one and do that one day and go back to this, you know, you can play with them. But the new one is more powerful. The affirmations are really clearly distinct.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
Okay. And I seem to prefer doing it in the morning.
Yeah.
Seems yep. to set my, and I love that you say relax, you know, and be seated. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not relax, lie down, and go out of body. So
yeah.
You know, that was really helpful too.
Yeah.
So I
yep.
appreciate.
Yeah, the point of this, you guys, is to stay as present as possible, right? Alert, present as possible, because ultimately what we're going to be wanting to do is we're wanting to be functioning, walking around in the 3D, doing stuff, doing our job, driving to work, raising our kids while we're in the quantum. And so if we practice doing that from a position where we are upright and in our body, then it'll be easier. It's way easier.
Yeah.
So good.
So there are a couple of experiences I had, and then I have a question. I found where I would have, let's say, been in particular situations that could have been upsetting to me in the past. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. for some, you know, and I credit a lot of this to the work, is I was more in observing and not reactive. And
yes.
it was, that was really, you
yes.
know, like seriously, when I'm going, okay, you know, am I, you know, developing another personality here? And the thing is that letting go, it's, and then trusting, it was like things were happening of their own, you know,
yes.
all of a sudden. Phone would ring, or somebody, you know, it would, or something would come into alignment that I had been fretting about, and it's happened enough times,
yes,
where I kept stopping myself from fretting and going, look, you know, just let it go. God will bring it in when God feels like it, you know. Except I didn't say it like that. It was like,
yep.
you know, just that. It was more like just trust, and if it's not lining up in this minute, because. You know, I don't like having to do the same thing, you know, numerous times to try to
yeah.
get it done, or compel others to do something numerous times to get it done. It makes me nuts.
Yeah.
And so it was like, okay, stop doing it. You know, release
yeah.
the A personality here, and just, and it was really extraordinary to see that things would, some things, you know, would change
mm-hmm.
with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everything. You know, but enough mm-hmm. where there's real empirical evidence. So,
yeah,
the thing is, what's happened. So that was one observation. Another observation is very disturbed dreams. I'm also getting up earlier and earlier.
Good.
I've been waking up generally between like 4 and 6. Now I'm waking up between 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Now, and remember, I'm pretty far north here too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's. So I don't know how that is. And then the dreams are disturbed. They're all of the things that have been overwhelming me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're vast amounts.
Yeah.
Of
yep. And
are coming
and,
in.
And that's
troubled.
Great. That's great. We want that. We want that. Anytime there's an upgrade in power, and I think I'd mentioned this on the call, I think last week, when I had requested an upgrade of power, and I had a dream that night of slamming my ex-boyfriend's head into the concrete and splattering his brains everywhere, right? That while we do this work, this is why I say pay attention to your dreams, those disturbing dreams are part of the old conditioning. They are old traumas, they are old wounds. They are old fears. They are old betrayals. They are all the old stuff being brought to the surface so they can be forgiven, because those things are deeply buried, deeply buried. And so when we start to do this work, the quantum, again, if you remember in module 2, where that solid line around the self starts to dissolve, you saw how if you remember the slides there, that the quantum self starts to dissolve. Well, all of these disturbing things come to the surface. When they come to the surface, our job is not to fear them or run away from them. Our job when we have those disturbing dreams, if it wakes us up in a cold sweat, which is what my brain slamming dream did, it woke me up cold, is to spend time with the dream and the feelings that the dream conjures. The visual of a dream is the result of the underlying emotion of the dream. The energy of the subconscious shapes the visual of the dream. So if you have a dream that is disturbing, we don't look at the imagery, we go into the feeling. When we're playing in the quantum, we go into the feeling of the dream. And as the example of the dream that I had where I was slamming my ex-boyfriend's head into the concrete, the energy of that was, I said, what is the energy? I said, it's murderous rage. There is murderous rage in here. And so I went into the murderous rage. I spent time with the murderous rage. I invited it forward. I said, meet me. And I was sitting on the foot of my bed at the time. I said, meet me here. Come, show me. What do you need to know? Tell me? What do I need to bring forward? How do I need to look at you? How can I meet you? And then how can I heal you? How can I love you? How can I integrate you so that I can, so that this can be forgiven, so that it can be released? So the fact that you're having funky dreams, yay, fucking gold star. Do not run away from those things. Bring them forward, meet them so that they can be forgiven. And the fact that your sleep patterns have been altered as well is your whole nervous system, your whole consciousness system is being rebooted. It's being rebooted. That's why at the end of the homework thing, I said, resist nothing. It's a reboot is happening. So if your sleep has been discombobulated, okay, get up, write something, write in your journal, make a cup of tea, listen to your meditation, pick up your paintbrush and paint something. Right, allow this process. At first, it's going to be jarring to the system because you're rebooting the system. Okay.
Okay.
So the fact that you're having funky dreams, that's awesome. Yay! Congratulations, you. That's what we want. The fact that your sleep is being distorted, awesome, great. Don't resist it. If the guidance is to get up and work and paint, then do it. If the guidance is to go in meditation, then go meditate. If your guidance is to get a cup of tea, fine. It's a reboot. We're rebooting you.
You know, with the getting up, it's like I know to listen to the meditations, or I know to, do my own meditation or to write. Mm-hmm. And I frequently find myself wanting to divert and watch a movie, mm-hmm. or watch a basketball game. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that has been a real inner pattern that of avoiding going inward. I think of limiting my power that it would be important for me to restructure now.
Yeah, for sure. So if you're recognizing that pattern as, ooh, let me go watch a basketball game or go watch Netflix. Listen, every once in a while, it's awesome to go binge watch some stuff. Great. But if you're recognizing it as a coping mechanism for avoidance, then go, okay, what am I avoiding? What am I trying to push down? And am I using the basketball game or whatever as a distraction? What am I trying to push down? And so you can go into your quantum. You go, okay, quantum mind, show me what I'm avoiding, show me what I'm trying to push away. Bring it forward so I can see it right now. Bring it forward right now, and then just sit in a meditation for 60 seconds and notice what you notice. And sometimes that might be enough to move whatever it is that you're trying to push down. And other times, what you're trying to push down will show up in your dreams, which is what's been happening.
Yeah. But then the last thing is, you mentioned with your, the fundraisers, how frustrating that is. Mm-hmm. I have three galleries in Europe that have not returned my work, and one curator in Europe. And you know, I've been contacting them all for four years, and the one mm-hmm. in the the curator for like 10. One of them, so I discovered this week, the gallery actually closed, mm-hmm. and now they have an online presence through some group kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like a lot of money out there. There are about 24 paintings out there in different mm-hmm. price ranges. So, you know, that would have had me out of debt and, you know, carried me for, you know, a year,
yep.
you know.
Yep.
And so this is a pattern. And it's been there a long time. And I've had, you know, prior to that, galleries in LA, you know, were trying to abscond with work and, you know, mm-hmm. all kinds of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not been able to get my work back, and mm-hmm. finding that it had closed, and I was actually really thrilled that I didn't freak out. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, okay, got the information now. You know, so again, this is all this week. Then I, and
cool.
so I was hoping that other than just asking the quantum, just going to the quantum and saying, you know, claiming my power back. You know, show me how to get my work back, or show me what the solution is, or.
Mm-hmm. 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 So couple strategies. So the first strategy is how do we break the pattern of you bringing people into your life who steal shit from you?
Yeah, and that would be like people who, you know, from school would steal, you know, my things, or, you know, if I was sharing a home with somebody, they would steal things or deface, you know, something really good of mine. So this has been pretty
yeah.
much lifelong. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a pattern there of people stealing from you. So that's where we would first start. We would start with the – hang on a second again, Christina. Sorry, just a minute.
Yeah.
Okay,
you need to stop that.
So where we would start is by so what we do in those moments is we look at the pattern and we say, okay – people, this has been a consistent thing for my whole life. That means there's a seed, there's a sliver of something in my consciousness that generates these things. That's the thing I need to release. I get to use this scenario in my life to go, there's something in my consciousness that needs to go. And so that's what we bring forward to be forgiven. We say, whatever the error in thinking is in within myself that causes these scenarios to happen, I release it. I don't need to know where it started. I don't need to know who gave it to me. I don't need to know. I just need to release it. And so that's what we bring forward to the quantum mind to release. Whatever thought structure that generates this recurring pattern of people stealing from me, that's what we forgive. So that's where we start, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we start. And then the...
And karmic stuff, because we don't need to know what it is, or ancestral,
right.
or any of that stuff. We just nope. plain don't need
to. Plain
okay.
don't
no,
need I've... to know. You don't need to know. The example in the 3D world, what's happening in the 3D world is all you need to know. This scenario is happening. It's happened again and again and again and again, and I'm going to pull it out by its roots and forgive it. So that's where we handle that.
Okay.
The second thing we do is we give forward the people who have stolen from us in the Lord's Prayer, in the Helios Biblios. It says, part of it is, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So when you are forgiving, when you are giving forward your error, that's forgiving your trespasses, giving it forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are forgiving those who trespass against us. You are forgiving those who have stolen from you. You are giving them forward. You're giving them, you're releasing them, all of them from high school. You're gathering them up into a bundle and you're handing them over. Because
it's just forgive trespasses.
Forgive us. So forgive us our trespasses. That's the first part where you're giving forward. The circumstance, and forgive those who trespass against us. So anybody who's involved in this scenario, who has your artwork, you give them up. You surrender them forward.
Okay.
That helps you clear the judgment, right? And you can't serve the world. You can't transform the world. You can't change anything if you're holding judgment about it. It won't work. So that's why we give them forward, right?
Does that mean that I cease attempting to get my work back?
Oh, no. You still try to get your work back. You still take action in the 3D. This is another, and here's another fascinating mystical scriptural statement, that, again, from the Helios Biblios, that says, Jesus is talking to some people in the street who are bitching about
Jesus. Your line is crackling a little.
Oh, is that better? Is that better?
Yep.
Okay. So, again, scriptural, in the Holy Bible, the Helios Biblios, Jesus is talking to some people in the street who are complaining about having to pay their taxes. They're complaining about stuff in the 3D world. And Jesus says, the great mystic, he says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto the Father that which is the Father's. What he's saying in that moment, he's saying, take care of what you need to take care of to get stuff done in the 3D world. That's render unto Caesar. And render unto the Father that which is the Father. Essentially, he's saying, then do your quantum work. So do what you need to do in the 3D world, but do your quantum work, right? So render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Take care of what needs to be taken care of in the 3D, but be sure you also take care of your quantum work. So yeah, follow up with them. Let them know you want it back, okay, and all of that other stuff. So yes, but what will really clear this? So wouldn't
I
it
just
be,
say so. Render, what was the second part? Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. And I'm writing this down. Render unto
the Father that which is the Father's.
You can hear how much I'm hanging on to this shit.
Yeah,
excuse my language.
No, fucking swear all the fuck you want. I don't give a fuck. Fucking shit.
Thank you. Render unto the Father that which is the Father's. I have copious notes on there. So
yeah. And this will be available on the replay. But essentially what that says, and this is for all of you, do what you need to do in the 3D world, but be sure you're doing your quantum. Render under Caesar and render under the Father. So, so take action in the 3D world, but be sure the majority of your work is in the quantum. So here's a question. How much, let's just say, how much do you figure all of those paintings are worth that you're wanting
about
to get back?
About 50,000 US.
Okay. So
some are really tiny and some are bigger. It would actually be more. It would be probably about 50,000 euros. So I'd probably another third on top of it.
Okay. So let's just say 100 grand. Let's just say 100 grand. Okay.
Okay.
That's a nice round number.
Yeah.
You could be like, if those dealers who have your artwork, if you could get 100 grand from the quantum in a completely different way, if 100 grand was suddenly or gradually able to show up in your life, in your world, would you waste time chasing those people around?
Do you want to know something? Once you started on that track, I think I would, because it is like they're not valuing me. They're not valuing my work. I actually suspect one of them sold, or two of the galleries sold the work, and I was never paid because I kept getting stories.
Okay.
Something
okay.
about there are other issues with it other than the financial, and you know what my financial situation is. I'm on air right now. Yeah,
I get it. Okay, so I just wanted to be sure that we were clear. So the need to get them back is more of a self value thing, right? So
yeah,
but so what we want to be able to do is, wouldn't it be
that
great?
I'm being stolen. It's outrage that I'm being stolen from.
Yeah.
Whether it be money if they're paid or the work.
Yep. So when you do the releasing, the forgiveness of when you break the karma of being stolen from, you forgive the scenario within yourself and you forgive them, that would be what would start to soften that scenario and would open a miracle of you being able to get them back. The forgiveness of that scenario, right? The being stolen from part, okay?
Yep.
And then what we want to be able to do is we want to be able to get money moving that is separate and independent of you getting your work back. Those are two different scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
One is, right? One is you getting your work back and another one is generating money for you.
Yep.
Right? So the forgiveness
happen.
What was that, honey?
So there are a lot of ways money could happen.
Absolutely. So the getting your stuff back is the first part of your quantum equation in the forgiveness and the releasing of that consciousness. Okay. And then the second part of it is your quantum affirmation, your quantum prayer, your quantum power is that I am abundantly and infinitely provided for. Prosperity is my birthright, and the quantum guides my money. The quantum guides my prosperity. The quantum is the source of my money, and it is flowing to me constantly and continuously without exception. All the time, every day and every moment, I am prospered. That becomes and that is in the new guided meditation. But that's a different scenario than you getting your stuff back. That's going to open the flow of your wealth and prosperity and your relationship with money, that declaration.
Okay.
So you're working on two things. You're working on two things, right? So when you do the new quantum when you do the new quantum prayer, at least in this scenario, in this situation, the stuff that you want to forgive and release is the stuff about you being stolen from, right?
Okay.
And the stuff that you want to quantumly create is your new relationship with prosperity.
Okay. And that would also like stolen from abusive people.
Yep.
Anything along those.
Yep. But you don't want to tangle those two things up. You don't want to tangle, right? We want to get money flowing in your world right now. You getting your artwork back, it's mm-hmm. important to you, but it's secondary, right?
Yeah.
Right? So the power of the quantum prayer, the power of the declaration is to start money moving in your life in a bigger, more elegant way. Mm-hmm. And then you getting your artwork back, that would just be icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. And then start again with new galleries and all of that. And,
The
film that I want to do, all of this other stuff. So,
Does that make sense?
I'm feeling reborn.
Good. Good. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. God. Awesome.
Oh,
all right, my
God
dear.
Bless
I hope
you.
That answers.
Very grateful. Very, very grateful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah.
You're welcome. Thanks, Christina. Cool. So you guys see how when we look at the air quotes here, reality of the 3D world, we're able to look at it and go, okay, if this is not pleasing me, if this is frustrating me, if this is not in alignment with abundance and grace and goodness and kindness and flow, then something in it, there's a thought in me that needs to be transformed. I don't need to know what it is. I just need to be able to look at the scenario and say something in me, and again, I'm poking myself in the front of my forehead, something in me is causing this to happen. And I'm going to call it forward and forgive it. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So it's important that, this is why I said, I think it was in module one, we forgive the world, we forgive the people in it, we forgive ourselves. Give forward, give forward, give forward, give forward. Right. The shitheads who stole Christina's stuff, they're still crummy people. We're not condoning what they did, but we're aware of the fact that within consciousness, the miracle that would catalyze her ability to get her artwork back isn't going to happen strictly by her chasing them around the world. It's going to happen in consciousness first. And then something might happen one day where she sends a particular email. She's still taking action in the 3D world, where she sends a particular email and that's the one that lights everything up. Okay. Sandy says, when I was in church, I used to be Daniel with the lions. I used it many times during my life. Thank you for reminding me. It's a beautiful coincidence. We are all Daniel with the lions. We are all Daniel. That's a story of not giving power to the 3D world. And if we can give power to the quantum, then we can survive the lions. We can tame them. Barb says, is there any way to apply this information to communicate with the soul of another 3D self to help this self awaken? Or is it just inner work for me to awaken or uncondition my own 3D self? There are so many people in my life I want to help, but they don't seem to have any awareness or curiosity of this level of work. Yeah, that's a frustrator. That's a frustrator. But what I want you guys to grasp is, think of how complex this is. You know, you guys really want to understand this, and it's tough work, right? You've really got to contemplate things. You've really got to want it. You've really got to want to know the level of this work in order to achieve it, right? Mastery of anything, whether it's a sport or a mystical practice, it's tough work. And you're going to be really, really, really hard pressed to try to talk somebody who's not interested into this degree of work. You know, again, using the analogy of the movie The Matrix, they say that there's a statement in there where Morpheus is explaining to Neo about if you try to wake somebody up out of the Matrix before they are ready, they'll kill you for it. This is why Jesus in the mystical story was crucified. He was trying to wake people up out of the Matrix. He was trying to tell them the quantum story, telling them that they didn't need to follow all this religious protocol and all of the rules in the 3D. You didn't need them. And so, well, they said, we're not going to listen to you. We'll execute you instead. You know, that's one level of the story. So when we're doing our quantum work, as part of the work is we're able to say, just like I said a moment ago with Christina, I forgive the world, I surrender the world and all of my judgments of it. That as we surrender our judgments of the world, then people will wake up again because those people are us. There is only one of us here. On the quantum level, we are literally all connected. At the quantum level, we are all source energy, just disguised as little Christmas lights on the string of lights. Barb is a green Christmas light. Simone is a yellow Christmas light. Christina is a red Christmas light. Sandy is a blue Christmas light. Bill is a fuchsia Christmas light. We're all different Christmas lights on the same string. So if we are in judgment of any of the other Christmas lights, the whole line is going to be affected. And so if you realize that you are a green Christmas light and you are awakening into this work and you realize somebody down the string is a blue Christmas light and they're not, to hold them in judgment limits your power. It kinks your hose. It diminishes your ability to truly access the quantum because you can't. This is why we give stuff up. This is why we forgive stuff. This is why we release stuff. We let stuff go. Because if we're holding any constriction at this level, it's like kinking a garden hose. The energy can't flow. So again, using Jesus as the ultimate mystic in the Helios Biblios, he was being hung on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Essentially what he's saying is quantum mind, I totally absolve all of these unconscious people for putting me up on the cross. I totally absolve them because if I don't release them, if I don't allow them to be in their unconsciousness, then I can't access the Father. I can't access the quantum. So hold the thought for the best to emerge for those people. For the people in your life that you want to help, hold them in the best thought, forgive them, give them forward. But you can't, again, I said this before, you can't serve the world and judge it at the same time. They'll wake up when they're good and ready to wake up. And here's the second thing is, the more you, dear Barb, and all of you quantum engineers, the more you are rooted in your miraculous power, and people are going to watch your life and they're going to see miraculous shit start to happen. And they're going to go, what the hell is Barb doing? Have you noticed? Like, she's aging backwards. She's happy all the time. She's got a shitload of money. What the fuck is she doing? And they'll come up to you and they'll say, Barb, I don't know. Are you, what are you, practicing voodoo? Did you find the Garden of Eden? What are you doing? That's when you reach them. When you are a miracle worker, that's when you're going to get people's attention, because people are going to want to know what you're doing. But you can't go in and try and wake them up if they're not ready to be awakened. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. If the people aren't ready, you are going to lose traction. If you are keep turning over your shoulder and go to try to wake them up, it's not going to work. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. I am about my Father's work. Let the people who aren't aware of the quantum and aren't interested in the quantum, let them be dead. Let them live their life in the matrix. They're happy there. My job is to identify my quantum work. Right? So bless them. Let them go about their lives. You go about you becoming a miracle worker. And when you start generating miracles in your life and your life becomes something that, holy shit, people are getting amazed by, that's then when you say, here's something I have to tell you. They'll be saying, what are you doing, Barb? And you'll say, I'm playing in the quantum. And they'll go, what the fuck is that? And they go, let me tell you. You want to go get a bottle of wine? I'll tell you. Right? So I hope that makes sense. Yeah, they don't have awareness or curiosity, so you can't. Let the dead bury the dead. You go about your quantum work, and that's going to be what gets their attention. Barb also goes on to say, can you further explain the symbol of the atom and electrons of light as you? I didn't catch the part about time and space collapsing and gravity and matter. Thanks, I'm loving the course and the idea of being a quantum engineer. So in Module 2, there's the symbol of the atom. And the atom, at the center of an atom, there's a nucleus. In that image, there's a nucleus around which the electrons in that picture, they all swirl around. And the atom has an electrical charge. It is positive electrically charged, the atom. And the electrons that spin around it are negatively electrically charged. The atom might be considered masculine and the electrons might be considered feminine. But essentially what's happening there through that electrical exchange is that atom becomes energy that turns into matter. It becomes material stuff. You, when you're doing your quantum work, your thought, your energy becomes like that vortex of energy that is created around an atom that creates matter. Think of yourself as you, your skin suit, being the nucleus of that atom, and then the energy that you're playing with when you're playing in the quantum is being all of those electrons that are spinning around it. Over time, as you energize and direct that energy in a particular way, it starts to collapse into matter, becomes a material thing, right? That if enough atoms get together and connect together, you get water. And then if enough other atoms get together, you get gold. Enough other atoms get together, you get carbon, right? All of the building blocks of life here in the 3D world. So the more energy you develop around you, within you, and through you, the more power that you generate, and especially when you're using your quantum prayer, the energy field around you starts to spin. An electromagnetic field is generated through your consciousness. It starts to spin. And that, over time, is what collapses time and space. It generates gravity. I don't want to get too sciencey here, because it can get a bit physics-y, the metaphysics of it. But essentially what you're doing is your thought and your energy, your position in the quantum field, that you're still in your 3D body, right? That's you as the center of the atom, the nucleus. You start to generate an electromagnetic field around you that starts to spin. And when something starts to spin fast, it generates a gravitational field that collapses matter, starts to alter reality. Think of it if you were ever a little kid the image that I see is when we were little kids in the playground, there used to be one of those sort of little merry-go-rounds that you could push. You'd run around it, you'd spin it, your friends would get on one side, you'd get on another side, and you'd spin it. And one of your friends would lie down in the middle of that merry-go-round, and the faster you'd spin it, the harder it would be for your little friend in the middle to get up, because it was generating gravity. So the faster that little merry-go-round spun, the harder it was for the friend in the middle of the merry-go-round to get up. So essentially, that's physics. The faster something spins, the more gravity it generates. The more gravity it generates in the metaphysical is the more power we have to collapse something into the physical. I don't want to get too buried in that, but essentially think of the faster something spins, the harder it is for you to get out of it. That's because there's gravity. And that's what we're doing when we're shaping, when we're manifesting, materializing stuff from the non-physical into the physical. That's about as simple as I could put it. All right. These are good questions, you guys, really great questions. Let me just double check to be sure that I have. Hold on. Hang on a second here. Okay, I just want to be sure that I still have time here. So if you guys have any more questions, let me know, because we're already we're going on almost 2.5 hours here. So I just want to know if you guys have any more questions. But what I want you to start to recognize is that the more we start to identify as in that diagram of self, soul, and source, especially the one that I presented in module 2, the one where it's nested, where the self is nested in the soul, which is nested in source energy, and that our goal is to be able to dissolve the boundaries of self, you as a skin suit, and the way we do that is by letting go of all of our conditioning, releasing all of our conditioning, understanding our position within that nested equation, putting ourselves into phase with the quantum, and then declaring the quantum, affirming the quantum. Over time, you're going to start to notice that stuff start to shift. And already you guys are noticing stuff start to shift. Bill is noticing stuff start to shift. Sandy is noticing. Barb is noticing. Christina is noticing. You're all starting to notice. So if you're starting to notice something happen and it's only been 2 weeks, can you imagine what might be possible if this was something that you continued for the rest of your life? And here's what's interesting about it. What happens is once you start to develop the momentum and you understand it, it expands exponentially. It increases exponentially. It grows in power. It becomes power to the squared, power to the 10th, power to the 100. It grows exponentially. It accelerates. It doesn't become it's not a linear process, because consciousness, as it expands on what it's expanding into. It, again, just to keep it simple, it will expand exponentially. So keep that in mind and notice what you notice. And that's when it gets really, really fun. That's when you start to trust it and you start to be able to play with it. Right. Again, I'm reminded of a scene in the movie The Matrix where Neo goes to talk to the Oracle, and he walks into the room with all of the young children, and the young children in the room are levitating blocks and moving blocks around. And he sits down with the little boy. I recommend you all watch The Matrix. Over Christmas, watch The Matrix, episode 1. And he sits down on the floor with a little boy who's bending spoons with his mind. The little boy is bending spoons with his mind. And Neo says, well, how are you doing that? And essentially what the little boy says is, he says, you have to remember that it's not the spoon that bends. It's your mind that bends, because in reality, there is no spoon. And then later on in the Matrix, when Neo is getting ready to go and battle the bad guys, he's getting ready to step into this big battle. And before he does it, he reminds himself, he says, there is no spoon, which means the greater power is in the quantum. The power is not in the 3D. There is no spoon. It's an illusion. And this is why this is an advanced practice. It's going to take a while to integrate that, but continue to stay curious about it. All right. Buddha said it. Jesus said it. Now Neo is saying it, and even Yoda is saying it. Maybe there's something to this idea. So I'm going to investigate it. I'm going to be curious about it. I'm going to go and test my experiences of it. I'm going to practice it. I'm going to put my power into it so that I can master it. And that becomes such a joy and such an honor and such a privilege. It's not always going to be easy, but that's what masters do. That's why we're masters. We become masters of quantum physics. We become masters of metaphysics. Not because it's easy. Shit, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. And that's not what we're about. So Christina says, did you just say that the increase in gravity in the quantum draws things from the physical? No. The increase in gravity of the quantum collapses things into the physical. So it brings things into the physical. It doesn't draw stuff from the physical. It brings things out from the quantum and brings them into the physical. It collapses them into the physical. Remember, because the physical is an effect. The quantum is a cause. So that's the clarification there. Good that you asked that question. The quantum generates gravity that collapses something into the physical. Water into wine. Feeding 500 people with 5 loaves of bread. That's collapsing things into the physical, manifestation into the physical from the quantum. The gravitational spin collapses stuff. Hope that explains that. Also, do we have a call next week? No, we just had the 2 weeks, although I am thinking of doing a follow-up call, and perhaps I will. I'll do an extra bonus follow-up call next week just to touch base with you to see how everybody is doing. So we will do an extra follow-up call on the 28th just to be sure you guys are checked in. So I will do another one just to follow up and see how you guys are doing with the work. If you guys are around for the holidays, then that's what we can do. So I'll post that. I'll post that, and we'll do it at the same time next week. So let me just double check here. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to wrap things up because I don't see any more questions. These are really great questions, everybody. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much. So yeah, have a great Christmas. We'll do another follow-up call next week. And in the meantime, if any of you guys are interested in joining me for group coaching that starts in the middle of January next year, or I know some of you were inquiring about one-on-one coaching, let me know, and I can guide you to, you know, we can set something up to have a conversation about that. But yeah, let's do another follow-up coaching call next Saturday. So with that, I am going to wrap this call up. I hope these questions answer that for you. Christina says, thank you. Thank you for the bonus call. Thank you for the clarification. Cool beans. All right, you guys, have an awesome, awesome, awesome Christmas. I hope this stuff is starting to make sense for you. Once it does start to click, it'll be like, yeah, this is awesome. I see how much power I have. I see how much power I've been giving away. This is really fascinating. And you'll start to notice some really interesting things happen. And that has been my intention, to be able to put the power back where it belongs, within you and your own consciousness, and help you realize that you have way more power than you've ever imagined, and way more power than the 3D world is ever going to give you exists in your other levels of mind, those that exist at the quantum level, the soul level, and the source level. That's who you really are. Your skin suit, such a tiny little bitty part of who you are. And then all of the thoughts and the worries and the traumas and the conditioning, that's even less important. So we become quantum by releasing all that isn't quantum. We become more of who we authentically truly are as divine beings by releasing that which we aren't. So have fun with this process. Take advantage of the Christmas season to learn the most that you can from it. The Metaphysics of Christmas call, the replay, the recording is there in the classroom. The bonus of becoming Christed, the lesson and the guided meditation that are included with that are there. And the new guided meditation for the affirming the quantum is also in the classroom. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it already, listen to it over the holidays and notice what you notice. And we will connect next week. I'll follow up with you next week to see how you all are doing. So with that, guys, have a very, very Merry Christmas wherever you are in the world. Thank you so much for being a part of my community. I really appreciate you all, and thank you. I hope all of this work that we do together is serving you well. And it's an honor and a privilege to be your guide at this part of your journey. And I look forward to doing more of it together with you. So Merry Christmas, kids. Have a wonderful, wonderful, sacred time of year. I'll see you next week. Bye.